Lord, we just thank you for another glorious day that we can honor you. And we ask that today, as we look at your word and look at the resurrection, that we would just have a taste, just a glimpse of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are. We find ourselves in the text. We're going to be jumping around a little bit. I want to talk about the resurrection. There's going to be a variety of things, but I want to look at the resurrection of Jesus. I want to look at the rebirth of our spirit, but the hope that we have also of when our bodies will be resurrected. The word resurrection is anastasis. If you're here today with the word stasi or anastasia, it comes from this. It's a rising up, a raising from the dead. What a great word. What a great name. Anastasis is mentioned over 40 times in the New Testament. And just behind it is the message of the cross at 36 times. And they're linked together. You see, without the resurrection, is the cross is just, there's no victory. But without the cross, there is no resurrection. You need both. And that's why Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We there's both. And so many times when we come to the Lord, we are broken. And we say, Lord, I need, my old life has to die that his life would come and live within us. Resurrection speaks of a renewed and rekindled life. But it's more than just a quality of life or a quantity of life. You see, the resurrection speaks of Jesus's life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. It's more than an event. It's a person. So it's more than just quality. It's more than just quantity, but it speaks of the life of Christ. I say that because today there are many people who do not recognize their need of a Savior. They reject the even notion that they need to be forgiven. Forgiven from what? They don't understand big words like propitiation or a substitutionary atonement. I can't even say those words. How are they supposed to know those? But the fact is they do recognize they have a need for life. They have this aching need that needs to be satisfied, either through sex, drugs, and rock and roll, or maybe it's their occupation, maybe just building certain things and being creative with their hands, or a beautiful mind that they can solve problems. Maybe it's hobbies like darts or golf or fishing. Of course, I looked at specific people intentionally, surfing. But you know what, really? I can't get no satisfaction without Jesus Christ. You see, what they're really looking for is Jesus. That's what they're looking for. It's Jesus. It's been said that each man has a God-shaped void in his heart that can only be filled with God. You see, life begets life. Life begets life. You're not going to find life in any other thing. You can write about it, talk about it, you can enjoy life, but it doesn't beget life. Only life begets life. I have this drawer at my house. I think some of you might have one. In this drawer, I throw in the extra nuts and bolts when I'm making something. You get an appliance, and you always have more screws. I think they're extra. If I score and on my bread bag, I get a couple extra twisties. I throw them in there. When a plate breaks, I get my super glue, and I glue it. I save that 50-cent worth, and I throw it in there. This drawer has a special name. It's called what? It's the junk drawer. And so when life breaks, we all run to the junk drawer. You know what? Life begets life. Why is it when life problems break, we dig into the junk drawer of life looking for a remedy? We look for junk food, junk. And that's all it is. Nothing is going to satisfy that void outside of Jesus. The life that the world is looking for is Jesus. And I want to talk about this life. We call it resurrection power, resurrected life. What does that mean? We need to have heaven's message in an earthly language. They don't understand propitiation. They don't understand those, but they understand life. They understand a need to be satisfied. And for those of you that know Jesus, we need to stop and rewind a little bit and unpack this at how we can explain the eternal message to a world that's changing drastically. If we're not dropping ginormous bombs, we're getting so close to North Korea. I mean, our world is changing so rapidly. It's I want to say it's scary, but really, the Lord allowed us to be born in such a time as this. He's chosen to have us born here. This is the race that we're running. I love the scripture that says, if you're tired now and you're running with the footmen, how will you be when you run against the horses? Guys, it's time to buckle those shoes and start running. We have a message to give. And so I want to unpack what we've been talking about as far as being saved, asking Jesus into my heart. What does that mean? Let's just look at three things. Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. Three easy things. He lived to show us the Father. Jesus came to show us the Father. You see, it was Jesus who coined the whole phrase, Father, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. It was Jesus who even said these things. God was this unapproachable God. It was, if you look at the tabernacle, you had the area that you would sacrifice. And behind that, the priests could go and they would do their work. And behind that, you had the holy place where only a couple of priests would go and they would deal with the candles and all that stuff. But behind that was the Holy of Holies. One priest, one time a year, completely off limits to people like you and I. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't you like that? He came to show us, to reveal. He lived to show us the Father. Jesus came to show us the way to the Father. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And nobody comes to the Father but through me. Here we're using that word life again. I'm the way, the truth. I'm the life. More than quality, more than quantity. It's the life of Christ. And then it was Jesus who showed us the relationship the Father wants to have with us. And Jesus is the one that said John 3:16. You look at it, it's in red letters. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Do you see the relationship that the Lord has? That whosoever, I don't know about you, but I am a whosoever. I need a shirt that says whosoever on it. I can tear off my outer garment and I am a whosoever. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now, praise God, I see. See, Jesus lived to proclaim the Father, but he died to pay a penalty for you and for me. You see, it's like a speeding ticket. Not that I've ever received a speeding ticket, but if I was to receive a speeding ticket, there would be a fine that needs to be paid. Someone has got to pay the fine. Doesn't matter who pays it. Jeff, you can pay my speeding ticket if you would like, or not. But the fine needs to be paid. And Jesus paid a price. It says that he was, here's that word, the propitiation. He pleased the fine. He pleased the wrath. He paid a debt that was owed. The word says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Nobody's perfect. We're all in need. Whether you believe it or not, you're in need of a Savior. You really are. I mean, we sin because we're sinners. That's it. We sin because we just prove who we are. We're sinners, and Christ paid for that. That's why the last words of his mouth was what? It is finished. But literally, it was an accounting term. Mark, you should know this. What did he say? He said, paid in full. It's done. It's paid. Here's the great thing. The resurrection, though he lived to proclaim the Father, he died to pay the penalty. He raised again to defeat the power. Though Jeff might pay my speeding ticket, it's still on my record. It's still on my record. It has not been expunged. Only what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, him rising again defeated the power of sin and hell. The Bible tells us that our sin is removed as far as the east is from the west, or the east is from the west, or where are we? Where's my sin? It's gone. It's been blotted out. What sin? What sin, child? It's gone. Jesus satisfied that. He paid for it, and then he removed it completely. If I can unpack that to a world who's looking for satisfaction, I could tell them there's life. I like that one pastor said this morning, we're not made better, we're made new. We were broken and now we're new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And the resurrection speaks of life. It speaks of new life. The resurrection was the primary message of the new church, of the early church. They talked about the resurrection over and over and over again. That was what Paul said in Athens. They thought he was crazy. As soon as he started talking about the resurrection, people laughed at him. But some were saved. Some believed. In Matthew 28, as we were reading this morning, it says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. No doubt that morning as they were approaching the tomb, they were grief-stricken. No doubt they were thinking of Friday night. Not Friday night dance hall, but they were thinking of Friday night Jesus being beaten, Jesus being mocked, Jesus being nailed alive onto a cross and left there to die. Jesus, it says that because it was the eve of the Sabbath, they hurriedly wrapped him up in over 100 pounds of spices. 100 pounds. A normal guy like myself would get, 50 pounds. Maybe a taller guy might get 75 pounds. I don't know. But Jesus was wrapped with 100 pounds. Can you imagine what love that must have looked like? Over and above. It's not enough. Give him some more. And they wrapped him up Friday night. They put him in the tomb. And what were the ladies bringing Sunday morning? More spices. They loved him. Grief wouldn't hold them back. Fear wouldn't hold them back. They pressed on just one more excuse, one more time to touch him, to say, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you. To touch him just one more time. It says that the angel spoke to the women, and the angel said, don't be afraid, for you seek Jesus who is crucified, but he's not here, for he is risen as he said. I would underline that. Go ahead and take out your little clicker, click, 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 underline that, circle it, highlight it. As he said, he rose from the dead. Over and over again in the gospel, Jesus said, hey, I will be given over to the scribes and the Pharisees. I will be brought to death, but on 3 days, guess what? I'm going to rise again. And he does it. And he does it. It was the primary message. The angel said, as he said, then he says, come and see where the Lord lie and go and tell my disciples that I'm going before them to Galilee. Come and see and then go and tell. That was the message, to come and see and to go and tell. You see, the world that we live in, they don't understand life. They don't understand that the satisfaction is found in Jesus. And they're trying to put life's problems, life's brokenness together with the junk drawer, an organ, we'd say baling wire and duct tape. But that's what they're using. Putting themselves together with late nights, long days, living for the weekend. But life's not found. Only life begets life. The message was, come and see, and then go and tell. And by the time Acts chapter 4 rolls around, Peter and John were now arrested. You see, they were healing, they were preaching, they were teaching about the resurrection, and they just wouldn't have that. And so they arrested them and put them in jail. And do you remember what the church did? I'll tell you what they didn't do. They didn't protest. They weren't down on the streets, not my savior. They didn't have a Facebook account or a blog. I mean, you can't write anything anymore without people just slamming you. They didn't have a GoFundMe account. Let's go get Jesus out of jail. Peter and John out of jail. The church prayed. In Acts chapter 4, they prayed, and the building that they were in began to shake. And it says that with boldness, they began to speak the word of God. In Acts chapter 4, it says that with great power, they gave witness of the resurrection of Jesus. It was the primary message of the early church. With great power and great grace. Oh, I'm all about great power. But sometimes I struggle with the grace. I forget that I too have blown it. I too am a sinner saved by grace. And the message has got to be with great power and great grace, or else it's just another sounding gong, just noise. I like the phrase that says, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. In Matthew 28 here, after the women looked and saw and went and told, it says they left here with great joy. Do you see where I'm going? Great power, great grace, and what great? Great power, great grace, and great? Do you see that the fruit comes from great power and great grace? What? Great joy. That's the message. That was the premier message of the early church. Life begets life. Even their baptism spoke of the resurrection. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and tell them all those things that I have commanded you. Isn't it funny? Every time we have a baptism, who normally does all the baptizing? I'm the one that gets out in the water and freezes. But Jesus told you guys to go and make disciples and baptize them. So the next time we're getting baptizing people, I'm grabbing volunteers. Voluntolds, maybe. Annie gets up and walks out the back door. Baptism, it's that outward expression of the internal decision. I've always said that baptism's like my wedding ring, though my wedding ring does not marry me by any means. It merely displays that I am married. It shows that I'm committed. You know, I'm committed to my wife. It's round that speaks of unity. And my relationship with the Lord is just that. It's more than just simply a wedding ring. It speaks of repentance. That's something that we need to recognize, that though God takes me the way that I am, he doesn't leave me the way that I am. God loves me too much for that. God catches his fish before he cleans them, but he does clean them. Praise the Lord. And you see, repentance is changing direction. It's changing your mind. I once was finding satisfaction in doing, but now that I found that it was done, it's been finished, I am repenting toward Christ. I am no longer living a life to satisfy myself, but truly to a life, a new life with Christ. Baptism, it speaks of turning around. Romans tells us, therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. You see, when you and I, here's the deal. When we ask the Lord to be the Lord of our life, it's like those paddles and he jump starts our spirit. That clear, poof, poof. They had to do it a few times with me because I was dead. But my spirit became alive. And now my spirit walks with the Lord. I'm a new man. I'm made alive in Christ. You see, life begets life. See, there's a couple different words for life in the New Testament. There's bios or bios that speaks of living life, biological life. But there's another word that's called zoe. It's a compound word. It means it's made up of more than one word. It speaks of spiritual life. And that's that quickened life that I experience, that we experience when we say, Lord, I need you, come into my life. And that's what the world is hungry for. If you are sitting here today or you're watching on Facebook or on the internet somehow, and you've never asked the Lord into your life, you won't experience real life until you ask the Lord into your life. And then the Zoe life clicks on. The Zoe life, your spirit truly becomes alive. But there's more than that. Listen to this. In 2 Corinthians, it says, don't lose heart. I like that. Even though our outward body is perishing, we see our outward body is perishing. Shirley's body perished. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, that spirit, is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction is but for a moment. I love that about Paul. If it's not tough, it's just not worth living, he would say. This light affliction, it reminds me of that old movie where he says, the arm gets cut off. He says, oh, that's just a flesh wound. That's nothing. He says, this light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here we go. We're talking to our friends about life. We're talking about the resurrection. And what we say, first of all, is the Lord jumpstarts your spirit. See, we were made body, soul, and spirit, right? But when we were first created, it was spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit was united with the Lord. Our soul was the our intellect, and our body was the last thing. Probably why they were naked in the beginning. But when they sinned, that become inverted, and we became body, soul, and spirit. And our body dictated what we would think. And underneath all that was the spirit trying to break through, dead, waiting for the Lord to resurrect the spirit. When we ask the Lord into our life, that spirit awakens, and that's the Zoe life. But there's more than that. The Bible tells us that if the spirit of him that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies. We look at an empty tomb, but did you know that one day that Shirley's body is going to come up from the grave? I was just sharing with my kids the other day about Grandma Doris, who was buried several months ago, that one day her body is going to come back together again. We talked about Linda, David's Linda, who was cremated. And the girls asked me, well, how's Linda going to come back together again? And I gave them my best spiritual answer. I don't know. But the Lord knows. And the Lord is going to fashion her back together. It says that the corruptible will put on incorruption and the mortal will put on immortality, and we will dwell with the Lord forever. So not only is my spirit quickened right now, but see, I have a hope that you can't take away from me. I have a hope of a day when the Lord changes my body. This guy's going to be 6'6". This guy is going to have a full head of hair. Man, I can't wait for that day. That's why it's called hope. And hope doesn't fail. You know, when we talk about hope today, we talk about, why I hope this happens. I hope we win the lottery. You know, I keep hoping, but the Lord says, well, you got to buy a ticket if you're going to win. And I haven't bought a ticket, so I probably won't win. But the definition, the biblical definition of hope, is the earnest expectation of good things to come. It's like Christmas Eve. You know you've got a present with your name on it, and you can't wait. You hope you get to open it first, and you know it's there. But you have to wait until mom and dad says it's time to get out of bed. It's 8 o'clock at our house. I'm sorry. I am not getting up before 8 o'clock. At least for Christmas, because you know I'm up until 6 in the morning wrapping everything. So when I speak to my brothers, I talk to them about the jump start that the Lord gives me. And then I say, that's not even the half of it. One day this body's going to be resurrected again. And then finally, as I said earlier, life begets life. There's a mystery that the New Testament tells that they only hinted at it in the Old Testament. Paul says, I want to tell you a mystery that's been hidden from the ages. And he says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see that jump start, that boom, boom in your life that started your spirit again? Do you know what that life force was? Jesus himself. The Bible says, since you are sons, the Father has put the spirit of his son into your hearts. The very life force that we have within us is Christ. For those of you that asked Jesus into their life, for those of you that have repented and turned toward Christ, he lives in you. God chooses to live in these earthly, earthen vessels. That blows my mind. That was the premier message given. I want to just tell you a few of the early church fathers, some of their quotes. Athenagoras said, we have been given new life from above as a sign of our future life that is to come. Irenaeus said, we received strength and new life within ourselves, life that is not of ourselves, but from the one who is perfect and before creation. Cyprian says, open your soul to him who is your father and creator. Be ready to receive and be filled with this new life, which is God himself. Make no mistake that the life that people are really searching for is a life in Christ. It's not going to be found in occupation. It's not going to be found. You know what? It won't be found in marriage either. I remember when Donnie and I first got married, we sat in front of each other face to face, and I said, sweetheart, Jesus has to be the number one man in your life because I'm going to fail you. And if you place me first, your emotional needs, physical, I can't do that, but he can. He can. Life begets life. I want to just close by thinking back at the women here in chapter 28 of Matthew. They came with grief. They left with great joy, but they met with Jesus. That's really the message today, is that you would have met with Jesus. That as you would come and see that you would go and tell, and on the way of going telling, that you would be meeting with Jesus. It says the women fell down at his feet and they worshiped him. We have a message for this world, and we have to give a godly, heavenly message with earthly language. Jesus lived to proclaim the Father. Jesus died to pay a debt, and he rose again to defeat its power. That's it in a nutshell. We're going to close with Ephesians chapter 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. May you leave with joy. May you share the message that Jesus Christ is alive. The resurrection, it's more than quality, it's more than quantity, but it's a life of Christ within you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for a simple message of the resurrection. I pray, Father, that there are those here sitting here today or listening that have never made that commitment, and they've been itching for something. They don't even know what. I think at times when my back itches and I can scratch it and I can't find that spot, I think people live a life that way, looking for something to satisfy that need. They hunt and they search, looking, spending money, spending time, spending a life and coming up empty, never truly understanding the meaning of life. They look for quality and quantity, but they've missed Christ, the true resurrection, the life. Scripture tells us that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. And there are plenty of people that do not have the Son, and they go on searching. Lord, would you use the folks here today? May they take seriously the word of go and tell. Go and tell that they have a message that they can share with their loved ones. As we talked about this morning, only 4% of the Monterey Peninsula really declares that they're Christians. The other 96% are lost. Those are our friends and our loved ones, our neighbors, our coworkers. Lord, would you use us to the very extent of sharing the good news? Gospel means good news. And so, Lord, as we leave this morning, laughing, sharing a meal with our family, may we not forget the message to go and tell. We just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord loves you guys. And he chose to use you and to live in you. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. He's risen. If anyone would like some prayer, I'd love to pray with you. And if you're here today and you've been just wondering, what is it really? What is this life? Just grab me, grab Robert, grab Mike. We'd love to pray with you. Amen. Father, I just thank you once again, Lord. May you bless these children. Would you continue just to show your glory in their life? May it truly be Christ in them, the hope of glory, that they would turn this world upside down in the name of the gospel. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Resurrection Day.